A wounded war veteran walks into a lumber company office after being turned away twice. He has one arm, no connections, and a job market stacked against him. Within 2 years, he's running the company's most important overseas operation. This isn't a feel-good fiction. It's the premise of a 101-year-old business parable that Steve Jobs kept stacked in his office, handing copies to employees facing impossible deadlines. The Go-Getter has outlived countless management fads, not because it offers complex frameworks or revolutionary insights, but because it captures something simpler and more powerful, the alchemy that transforms ordinary people into unstoppable forces. In an age drowning in productivity hacks and leadership podcasts, this slim volume asks a more fundamental question. When everything conspires against you, what separates those who find a way from those who find an excuse? Bill Peck's journey from rejected applicant to company leader reveals timeless truths about character, determination, and the extraordinary power of refusing to accept defeat as an option. Bill Peck's first encounter with Cappy Ricks happens through sheer audacity. After being rejected at reception, he walks straight into the founder's office, announcing he's called for his job. What makes this work isn't just boldness, it's preparation. Peck demonstrates detailed industry knowledge and shows how wartime discipline built unbreakable resilience. When questioned about his missing left arm, he responds matter-of-factly, "I can do anything another man can do." This confidence impresses Cappy enough to overrule his cautious executives. General Manager Skinner, resentful of this forced hire, assigns Peck to sell skunk spruce, lumber so coarse and foul-smelling that seasoned salespeople had failed for years. Skinner expects spectacular failure. But Peck identifies contexts where the negatives became irrelevant. For interior structural work, floor joists, wall supports, ceiling beams, appearance and odor didn't matter once covered. Within 2 months, Peck secured 5 new accounts in untapped territories, selling multiple carloads of unsellable inventory. He didn't change the product, he changed the conversation around it. Having proven himself with skunk spruce, Peck receives a call that will define his career. Cappy needs a specific blue cloisonné vase from a shop on Sutter Street on a Sunday, when the shop is closed, delivered to his southbound train that same evening. The shop sign Cappy described was misspelled, requiring neighborhood inquiries. The owner must be convinced to open on Sunday. The vase costs $2,000 cash, over $30,000 today, and neither Skinner nor Captain Peasley will provide company funds on a weekend. Peck pawns his own diamond ring as security. No regular transportation can reach Cappy's train in time, so Peck convinces a pilot friend to fly himself, then flags down the moving train at 2 a.m. in the Salinas Valley. Each escalating obstacle would have given most people a legitimate reason to quit, but Peck treats each barrier as simply the next problem to solve, never questioning whether completion is possible, only how to achieve it. His focus remains laser-locked on the outcome, not the obstacles. When Peck delivers the vase, Cappy reveals the truth. The entire scenario was an elaborate test. The $15 vase merely served to identify exceptional talent. "The degree of the blue vase has been conferred on you," Cappy announces. "You are now a regular, dyed-in-the-wool, copper-riveted, guaranteed-for-life blue vaser." The test's brilliance lies in its apparent unreasonableness. It strips away performance and reveals true character. Some candidates quit within hours. Others persisted for days but ultimately failed. Only a select few, like Peck, demonstrated the extraordinary persistence that marks genuine leadership potential. When offered the $10,000 a year Shanghai manager position, Peck credits his success to his brigadier's wartime motto, "It shall be done." This phrase encapsulates the go-getter philosophy, relentless focus on results rather than excuses, on solutions rather than problems. The story peaks when Cappy discovers Peck's brigadier was the same officer who passed the blue vase test 25 years earlier, creating a legacy of excellence transmitted through generations. The Go-Getter articulates an achievement philosophy that remains profoundly relevant. Preparation precedes opportunity. Peck printed business cards and studied the lumber industry before being hired, positioning himself for success before opportunity materialized. Obstacles aren't roadblocks, but invitations to demonstrate resourcefulness. Peck's ability to secure transportation during a strike and navigate through a blizzard showcases how determination overcomes seemingly insurmountable barriers. Results matter more than methods. Cappy doesn't prescribe how to sell skunk spruce or obtain the blue vase. He cares only that tasks are completed. This outcome focus creates space for innovation and personal initiative. Character reveals itself under pressure. The escalating blue vase challenges stripped away pretense, revealing Peck's unwavering commitment regardless of personal cost. These principles transcend business. Whether in relationships, creative pursuits, or community service, the go-getter approach offers a blueprint for turning aspirations into accomplishments. Success isn't about inherent advantages. It's about the approach we take to challenges, the resourcefulness we apply to limitations, and the determination we maintain when obstacles multiply. As automation handles routine tasks and machines replace repetitive jobs, Bill Peck's qualities become exponentially more valuable. Machines execute defined processes with precision, but cannot demonstrate the creative problem-solving, emotional resilience, and personal commitment that define the go-getter mentality. The story speaks to our hunger for meritocracy, where achievement is rewarded regardless of background. Peck succeeds not through connections or privilege, but through demonstrated performance and relentless effort. His journey from wounded veteran to successful businessman reminds us that while starting points differ, the capacity for determined action remains universally available. Most importantly, the book offers a counterpoint to culturally prevalent excuse-making, where external factors, economic conditions, systemic barriers, market forces are often blamed for personal failures. Peck's refusal to be limited by circumstances provides an empowering alternative. This doesn't dismiss genuine structural challenges. It recognizes that even within constraints, our response remains our choice and our power. 100 years later, this story remains vital because it addresses timeless aspects of human achievement that technology cannot replicate. Bill Peck's motto, "It shall be done," offers more than business wisdom. It's a life philosophy for modern challenges. Consider your current obstacles, the complex project, the distant goal, the overwhelming barrier. What shifts if you adopt Peck's mindset, not questioning possibility, but determining how to achieve it? Success often requires not more resources, but greater resourcefulness, not fewer obstacles, but stronger determination. We live in an age selling productivity apps and motivation seminars, yet what we need most is the simple, stubborn refusal to accept defeat. Cappy Ricks built his empire not by finding perfect credentials, but by identifying individuals with unshakable commitment to completion. That quality remains rare and valuable today, perhaps more so in our era of easy excuses and instant gratification. The question isn't whether you'll face impossible challenges, you will. The question is whether you'll become someone who finds a way or someone who finds an excuse. Choose to be a go-getter. It shall be done.